In today's gospel, as Christ prepares to return to the Father, he prays for us in our mission in the world. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you have given me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Most of us here are so familiar with the title Christian, the name Christian, that we probably don't realize that that title is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. First time is in the epistle from St. Peter, which we read from today. Peter says there, we should not be ashamed to suffer for the name Christian. The other two times the term Christian is found is in the Acts of the Apostles, that early history of the church written by St. Luke. In chapter 11 of the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that it was in Antioch, in ancient Turkey, where the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. And they were called that not by themselves, but by the pagan people around them. Pagan people gave them the name Christians. The second time in the Acts of the Apostles is in chapter 26. St. Paul is on trial, and he's defending himself. And he's talking about how he's teaching about Christ and so forth. In the middle of the trial, the king, Agrippa, stands up and mocking Paul, he says, stop what you're doing. Stop your teaching. You're turning me into a Christian. He says that mockingly. Those are the only three times that the word Christian is found in the New Testament. The earliest followers of Jesus did not call themselves Christians. That was a title attributed to them by others. They called themselves the followers of the way. The followers of the way of Jesus. Remember, Jesus himself had taught them and us, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So his first followers, that's the way they understood themselves. That's what they called themselves, followers of the way. I kind of like that designation because, you know, the term Christian is kind of a static term. When we think of Christianity, we think of a body of beliefs creed, which is very important. But when you think of followers of the way, that's more of a dynamic term, isn't it? It kind of talks about the way you walk, the decisions you make, the choices you make, the way you live your life. Followers of the way. They go together, of course. A creed that leads you to a certain way of life. But that term, followers of the way, is very suggestive to me. And, you know, Jesus himself said it in many different ways in the Gospels. Remember the day when he says to his followers or to those he's talking to, it's not the person who says, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the one who does the will of my Father. The doing, not the intellectual believing, the doing. Or again, remember when he tells us the story of the Good Samaritan? The man's beaten up on the side of the road, people pass him by, finally the Samaritan stops and helps him and so forth. We're very familiar with the story. But at the end of the story, Jesus says to those he's talking to, who showed himself to be neighbor to the one who fell in with the robbers? They all say, of course, well, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus says this to them and to you and me. You, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. You see, it's very clear that being a disciple involves living, doing, not just believing or saying, speaking, doing. St. James in his letter makes it very clear to us. He says there, do not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. A disciple is a doer, a follower of the way. You know, the early Christians had some beautiful hymns. We find many of them in the scriptures. One of them we find in the letter to the Philippians of St. Paul. We use it many times during the year. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, took the form of a slave, and so forth. But the very last lines of that hymn say this, therefore, every knee must bend and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue proclaim, every knee bend to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Beautiful, powerful words. But here's the interesting thing. The first Christians were not known by their contemporaries for their hymns, for what they said. What did the pagan people say about the Christians? See how these Christians love one another. It's what they did. Their hymns might have been beautiful. Their creeds might have been wonderful. It's what they did. Followers of the way of Jesus. So that should be very instructive to us who call ourselves disciples, who want to be disciples. We can believe all the creeds of the church. We can know all the answers to all the catechism questions and believe them. If we don't follow Jesus' way, they avail us nothing. Followers of the way. Let me just offer you a couple little examples of that. One of them I came across some time ago reading something. You know that in this country now, because of all the science that has been developed over the last 20, 25 years, that we're discouraged from smoking, right? You can't advertise smoking on television anymore. You can't advertise it in various magazines with warnings on packages. Now, whether or not you agree with the science seems pretty clear that if you smoke, you're endangering yourself. Well, of course, because of all that, cigarette sales in this country are not what they used to be. So what have the cigarette companies done? Many of them. They've been targeting other markets in other parts of the world where those warnings don't exist. where the government doesn't interfere with what is sold. And particularly that's true in Asia, Southeast Asia. So many of the cigarette companies heavily advertise now in Southeast Asia. And you know who they target most of all? Young women. Only 10% of women in Asia smoke. So imagine if you could raise that to 20% or 30%. That's what they're targeting. Now the point of that, of my mentioning that, is this. If you are an executive in a cigarette company and you say you're a Christian, how can you do that? How can you do that? How can you knowingly jeopardize the lives of people? How can you put profit before people? How can you do that? Are they followers of the way when you do that sort of thing? When we put politics or political gain before people, how can you do that? When you lie, whether it's in politics or in advertising or in our own families, we put something above people. How can we do that if we're followers of the way? Another example, maybe closer to home. Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes, doesn't he? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's you and me. We're meant to be peacemakers, to bring peace, concord, harmony. So any place we find anger, discord, lack of peace, whether it's in our families, school, places of work, we're supposed to change that, to bring peace. Especially if it's me that's the source of the discord. My anger, my pride, my lack of forgiveness. You know, I could say, I believe Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. But by God, I'm not forgiving you. Jesus is Lord. But I'm getting my revenge on you. See, how can we be called disciples? We're not following the way. Let me conclude with what I've always found a powerful example of what I'm trying to say. It's taken from the Broadway show Les Misérables, based on Victor Hugo's great book. I'm sure you remember, many of you, that show. Remember, it tells the story of a man named Jean Valjean, who stole a piece of bread. This takes place in France in the 1800s. He stole a piece of bread, and he's imprisoned for that. He escapes. And basically, through the help of a bishop, he manages to avoid being rearrested, and he goes off to another part of the country, and he establishes a new identity, a new life. He starts living as somebody else, and he becomes very successful. He's very kind, very charitable, a very religious man. At the end of the show, he faces a dilemma. Here's the dilemma. He finds out that somebody has been arrested as him. The police have been pursuing him, trying to find him all these years after escaping from prison. Somebody has finally been arrested because they think it's him. Now, what's he going to do? He says these lines, these very, to me, very powerful lines. He says, if I speak, I am condemned. If I do not speak, I am damned. If I speak, they're going to know, they're going to find me, I'm going to be put back in prison. If I speak, I'm condemned. If I do not speak, if I let this man go to prison as me, if I do not vindicate him, if I don't do that, I am jeopardizing my soul. If I speak, I am condemned. If I do not speak, I am damned. What you do, it's what you do. Are you a disciple? Am I a disciple? Do you deserve the name Christian? Do I deserve the name Christian? The answer is yes, if I am a follower of the way. Only then, if I am a follower of the way. May God bless you.